fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Big week for us here on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. First of two shows. Friday's going to be our second show. Why is it big? Because we got a mock draft coming up on Thursday. We haven't done a mock draft in a long time. We'll break it down on Friday. For now, though, we're talking about quarterbacks, year two and three quarterbacks. So Trubisky and Mayfield and Darnold and Mahomes and Watson, etc. And we welcome you to Fantasy Football Today. I'm Adam Azer with Dave, Jamie, and Heath. Who won out of us? Who won our bracket? Anybody check? I'm going to check right now.
Not me.
I'm going to guess not me, but I don't know.
How many Final Four teams did you have?
I don't even know. I never checked
it. I had one.
I didn't check it either.
I had one. It was Texas Tech.
I think I had zero. Let's see. We'll find out who won.
I'm going to guess Dave won.
I'm going to guess I finished maybe in last of the entire contest.
I spent weeks and weeks watching college basketball trying to know exactly what I was doing for this bracket, and I got one stinking Final Four team right.
Did you learn a lesson, Dave?
To not even bother trying?
Yes. Congratulations to Graham Lowry. Graham won our pool. Adam Azer came. Well, okay, I'll tell you in a moment. Anyway, yours two and three quarterbacks. We're excited about it. Very fun group of players. Obviously headlined by the number one quarterback in fantasy, Patrick Mahomes, going into his third year. Really only his second year as a starter. And why don't we kick it off with one quarterback, year two or three, who will be better in 2019. I'm going to let Heath start.
Well, that's very nice of you. I'm going to say that Deshaun Watson, who was very good last year, is going to be even better in 2019. In fact, in a 4 point per pass touchdown league, I think he may just be the best quarterback in 2019. I would really love it if he could get through a season with Fuller and Hopkins and Kiki Kuti all healthy. It probably won't happen, but I expect two of those threes to be there for him. And the offensive line just can't be as bad as it was last year because nobody gets sacked 62 times a year.
Where's the offensive line help coming from, though?
They can't be any worse. They're going to be better. They're going to draft somebody.
They need to draft five new guys.
Right. They need to draft five somebody.
I mean, look, he's a great quarterback. It's not a difference of opinion. I agree with you. He's going to have a fantastic season, but that line is just awful. My God.
Do you know the biggest addition they made to their offensive line? Do you know who it is?
Khalil, right?
Matt Khalil.
Yeah.
You can ask Panthers fans how they feel about that one.
Well they feel great about it because they got rid of him.
I know.
You can be a bad tight end or lineman on someone else's team and still be an improvement for the Texans.
Well, I think they need a lot of work there, but their schedule. The one thing that I pointed out about it when I looked at Deshaun Watson was that the schedule for Houston is really nice. A lot of high-scoring games ahead for them.
And which two of the three receivers do you expect to be healthy? That's the key one.
If I had to bet on the two that were going to play the most game, well, Hopkins and QT.
Yeah.
Hopkins was fifth last year in both four-point and six-point per passing touchdown leagues.
Watson.
Yes, thank you. Watson was
Waka Waka.
He is extremely efficient, 8.3 and 8.2 yards per attempt in two seasons, which is important because he doesn't throw that much. He threw the 15th most pass attempts in the NFL, and that was while playing 16 games. We know what he gets it done as a rusher, though. Third most rush attempts, third most rushing yards, and also five rushing touchdowns. And I do think, Heath, there's a big statistical difference with him, for him, with and without Will Fuller. So, you know, I don't have the exact stats, but I do know that in his last 11 games, Deshaun Watson only averaged 231 passing yards per game. In his first five games, in three of those five, he threw for 375 or more passing yards. In one of them, he was really bad and he didn't have Will Fuller. Suffice to say, Will Fuller makes a big difference. So a healthy Fuller would help.
Do you think, I think you're going to probably see a top four quarterbacks drafted of Mahomes, Rodgers, Luck, and Watson. Do you think anybody cracks those top four in terms of being drafted? Forget about how they finish, but just drafted.
Mahomes, Rodgers, Luck, Watson.
Who would be the closest?
Well, I mean, I know how I have Baker fifth. I don't think Baker's getting drafted ahead of those guys, but is there anybody that can?
I bet there's going to be leagues out there where Baker gets drafted before Deshaun Watson.
Yep. I think so.
It doesn't mean it's right, but
sure,
you will see that. You might see Baker get taken ahead of Aaron Rodgers. People are going to be just so excited about Mayfield and his prospects with Odell out there that they will reach.
I could see, just based on name recognition, you know, Breeze, Brady, Wilson, you know, just because people fall in love with tried and true and what they've experienced.
Cam
in the past.
Newton.
Cam, if he's healthy. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, not that I would, but right. We're just picking people.
Sure.
I'm looking at consensus rankings right now. It's Mahomes, Rodgers, Luck, Watson on Fantasy Pros. Number five is Russell Wilson. And he was the number one quarterback in fantasy 2 seasons ago, but they changed their offense so much. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to go fourth. Then Drew Brees, then Matt Ryan, then Cam Newton, then Baker Mayfield. And that's a tier of Wilson, Brees, Ryan, Newton, Mayfield. Jamie, who's going to be better next year? Your 2 or 3 quarterback.
I mean, Baker's the obvious one, so we don't need to spend a lot of time on that.
He is going to be better. What did he do last year? Baker Mayfield. Let's get those stats out. 3,725 yards, 27 touchdowns, 14 picks. Can run a little bit. And he didn't really do anything against good competition until the last game of the season. But he was a rookie. He had a great year. One of the best years for a rookie quarterback. And from weeks 4 through 17, when he became the starter, he was the number 9 quarterback in fantasy. And Jamie, you said you have him 5th. Dave and Heath, where do you have Baker Mayfield?
5th.
7th.
And I've been working on these things for the case for and the case against each player. And one thing I saw with Mayfield, like his pace in those games that he started was basically 4,300 yards and 33 touchdowns. His pace in the last 8 games after Hugh Jackson was gone, 4,500 yards and 38 touchdowns.
Wow.
And he did, and that was without Odell Beckham.
Yeah. All right, Dave, who's going to be better?
I think Josh Allen will be better. And he finished last season pretty strong. A lot of huge games in there because of his rushing and because of his deep ball passing. Seems to me like the Bills are content to let him be not only their like identity of the offense, but their leading rusher as well, because all they did to help their run game this offseason is add Frank Gore. So LeSean McCoy and Frank Gore running the ball, that sounds great. I think Josh Allen's going to get a lot of opportunities to throw. They've added a deep ball receiver in John Brown. They've added a reliable short area target in Cole Beasley. And the offensive line there has gotten a little bit better. And I think Josh Allen is just going to fall into some nice production and will be one of several quarterbacks that people will take late, hoping to kind of catch lightning in a bottle and get close to what you got. Not close to what you got with Patrick Mahomes, but value-wise, you wait on a quarterback, you grab two of them. One of them is Josh Allen, and if he pans out, you've got a starter.
Josh Allen, 10 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. And it's just so hard. Like, the fact that Baker Mayfield had such a good rookie season is impressive when you look at the rookie season that like Mitchell Trubisky and Jared Goff had. They were terrible. So you just shouldn't judge guys too much. And obviously the Bills did something to upgrade at wide receiver. But Dave, you forgot a big name. What about rugby player Christian Wade, Bills
I'm
running back?
I'm glad you brought him up.
Because
I asked for a scouting report on him from the official rugby scout of the Fantasy Football Today podcast, Mr. Ross Devenport, who veteran listeners of the podcast will remember for his previews of the London games. God, 7, 8 years ago, he gave me a scouting report on Christian Wade, 27 years old, quote, one of the best finishers in the history of English rugby, very quick feet, known for his quick cuts, good hands, strong for his size. His problem in rugby was his defense and positioning sometimes, but he got better at those. I don't think he's going to play much defense at running back
not.
For the Buffalo Bills.
Probably not. Yeah, so defense wins.
It's a fun name to look at. Maybe in your dynasty leagues, he's your last pick.
Okay. So Baker Mayfield's Jamie's pick to get better. Josh Allen for Dave, Deshaun Watson for Heath. If I could stay on Allen, did anybody think about taking Lamar Jackson as the quarterback who will get better? And let's compare Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson and who should go first.
I mean, Lamar Jackson's receiving corps is just such a disaster.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's so hard to say that there's a big room for improvement. Not that getting John Brown and Cole Beasley and Tyler Kroft is like the end-all be-all, but at least with what the two have in front of them, you know, the biggest receiver that – or the most prominent receiver that the Ravens have signed this offseason, you know who it is?
Seth Roberts.
Seth Roberts. Mm-hmm. Not the wrestler.
That's a wrestler?
I do feel more confident in Jackson replicating or improving on what he did on the ground than Allen, because so many of Jackson's runs were actually designed runs, and they brought an offensive coordinator that's done a lot of work with running quarterbacks. So I think that he may be better that way, and I did almost pick him for my quarterback that was going to be better. I still like him a little bit more than Allen.
Do you think Lamar Jackson can get 2 touchdowns per week, running or passing?
Yes.
100 rush yards per week and 100 pass yards per week.
Well, I mean, 100 rush yards per week is kind of hard.
It's crazy, what I'm saying. If he gets 2 touchdowns and 150 passing yards but only runs for 20 yards, that's not helping your team that much. It's still sub-20 fantasy points in our scoring.
I think he could get 150, 175 passing yards and rush for 50 to 75 yards a game.
That's realistic. Because, I mean, last year he had one game over 200 passing yards. So, I mean, it's and it was small sample size, 7 regular season games. But, I mean, rushing for 50 for him shouldn't be very difficult.
Fine.
If they're going to turn him loose in that regard. They also did upgrade their backfield because Mark Ingram is an upgrade over what they had a year ago. So, you know, that could be a few less rushing attempts.
In the games that he started last year, he had one game with fewer than 67 rushing yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, the two of them almost mirror each other, because with the time that Allen missed and when he eventually became the starter, and with what they did, there were 1 and 2 in terms of rushing yards at the position.
Right. And when you look at them, look at their college stats. Josh Allen's best year as a rusher, 523 yards and 7 touchdowns. 523 rushing yards, 7 touchdowns. That was his best year as a rusher, Josh Allen. Lamar Jackson's worst year as a rusher was 960 yards and 11 touchdowns. He had 2 seasons with right around 1,600 rushing yards in a shorter season in college, but also 260 carries, 232 carries, like running back workload. Amazing.
This sounds ridiculous, but if Lamar Jackson plays 16 games, I think he's going to run for 1,000 yards.
Oh, sure. He was on pace for... In those 7 starts, 1,271. So,
but can he stay healthy if that happens?
Right,
because that's the biggest thing. He's a frail guy. You know, John Harbaugh at the owners meeting said, you know, he's been working with a quarterback coach. That's a good thing that he's, you know, hoping to improve as a passer. But again, who's he throwing to? You know, that's where the leap has to come, because the rushing, if it stays where it is, will be great.
He's throwing to one of the 3 running backs on the field with him and one of the 3 tight ends.
I mean, they could run the wristbone at this point. You know, it's just that's the kind of offense that they have. They worked out Eddie Lacy. You know, I mean, what
they needed a guard.
what is going on with Baltimore? Now Harbaugh did say, you know, he doesn't have, I think we talked about this on the other show, they don't have enough picks for to go after the mid-tier receivers that are going to be in the NFL draft. So that kind of lends itself to them not drafting one early. But still, can a rookie come in and be an impact? I don't know.
No. Whatever rookie wide receiver goes to Baltimore is not going to be drafted in fantasy, my guess, or maybe late. All right, so one who will be worse, Dave.
I don't think Patrick Mahomes is throwing for over 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns.
Yeah, in fact, Heath also took Patrick Mahomes.
It was the easy answer. It's hard to find, and I think Jamie has a different one, but it's hard to find guys that are year 2 or year 3, because basically besides Mayfield, none of the rookies were good.
I think Darnold was pretty good.
At the end of the year, he was. He
wasn't a great fantasy quarterback, though. He played well at the end of the
year. Allen was a good fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, and he didn't play well.
Right.
That's
right.
Kind of the funny thing about Josh Allen. The stats were good. His play was...
Like, Darnold threw for 2,800 yards and 17 touchdowns in 13 games. If he's worse than that, they're for a quarterback.
Dad, did you guys hear that crash in the background, by the way?
No.
Oh, okay, good. I dropped my water bottle, which is a good thing we haven't talked about Pete Prisco yet. But everything's good. Okay, so Jamie, but let's stay on Mahomes real quick. He's going to be worse. And Heath, you honestly are ranking Deshaun Watson ahead of Patrick Mahomes in 4 point per passing touchdown leagues?
I have him currently projected 4 more points, yes.
But are you going to stick? Are you actually going to?
I don't have
it?
4 point per pass touchdown rankings, so I don't know what you're asking.
Are you going to rank Deshaun? Who about 6 point? All right, no. Hey Heath, I'm a first time listener, and I need help on draft day. Should I draft Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes at the same draft value?
I would not draft him at the same draft value, because you can wait 2 more rounds and just take Watson.
Well, who do you think? Who do you like better, Heath?
I think Watson's going to score more fantasy points in 4 point per pass touchdown leagues this year.
I think it's silly to put anybody ahead of Patrick Mahomes. If Tyreek Hill's out, then that's a game changer, obviously.
Of course.
I think Mahomes is legitimately has a decent chance of losing like almost a touchdown per game.
Well, obviously we can look at what happened to Peyton Manning. I've mentioned this before. Peyton Manning, after his 5,477-yard, 55-touchdown season, he went to 4,727, 39 touchdowns. That's exactly one per game, assuming he played 16 games both years, 55 to 39. And he went from the number one quarterback to the number four quarterback behind Luck, Rodgers, and Breeze. Okay, Jamie, who's going to be worse?
I don't think he's necessarily going to be worse. I just think he's going to finish a little bit lower. But Trubisky, he finished as a top 15 quarterback last year, and I think he'll be closer to 20.
He had that six-touchdown game that really buoyed his stats. He had the highest fantasy point total of any quarterback in a single game this year with 55.
Ooh, nice. That was against the Buccaneers?
It was.
They gave up an average of 54 points per game to quarterbacks, it seemed.
Yeah, and he had some other huge games, but he got hurt late in the year, and then once he came back, he only had one really nice game, and there's definitely some accuracy concerns.
Well, look at this stretch for Trubisky, and all of it is based on this six-game stretch. 6 point per passing touchdown leagues, 55 points against Tampa Bay. I recently heard that was the most by a quarterback all year. 32 at Miami, 35 against New England, 25 against the Jets, 9 at Buffalo, and then 41 fantasy points against Detroit. He was unstoppable. His next week was against Minnesota, 16 fantasy points, understandable, tough matchup. Then he got hurt, and like you said, Dave, wasn't so great. So I don't know what to make of Trubisky because he was as good as anyone. He was running the ball a ton in that six-game stretch, but that's all we have to go off of.
I think if this was a baseball podcast and I was pretending like I was Adam Azer, I would say it's really easy. You just look at what he did before he got hurt, before that Week 10 game when he got hurt. He was on pace to throw for 4,000 yards, 34 touchdowns, rush for 560 yards, and 5 touchdowns. This is an elite quarterback who just got hurt and wasn't quite the same guy after the injury.
I don't know if I believe that, though, because the first 3 weeks weren't very good.
There are some positives with Trubisky coming into the year where I think he's got some upside, mainly getting rid of Jordan Howard. And if the Bears don't make any more additions at running back, they're kind of admitting that they're going to be an offense that'll throw the ball more than they did last year, and that volume will help Trubisky.
How do you rank Trubisky with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson?
He's in the middle for me.
Behind Josh Allen for me. I think he's close to Lamar Jackson.
I have him ahead of both.
So, Heath, you said you like Jackson more than Allen, right, Heath?
I like Jackson long-term more than Allen. If they don't get another receiver, I'll have Allen ranked higher.
Okay. All right, so to recap, Jamie said Mayfield will be better, Trubisky will be worse. Dave said Allen will be better, Mahomes will be worse. Heath said Watson will be better, Mahomes will be worse, going from 2018 to 2019. I'm going to ask you who has superstar potential that hasn't already done it, and who is a sleeper for 2019. We'll be right back after this quick break on fantasy football today. Also, I'll tell you the standings of the Bracket Challenge.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome back, everybody. Okay, here we go. Adam came in 836th out of about 1,500 people. Dave came in 600th.
Way to go, Dave.
Jamie came in 261st.
Wow.
Yeah,
great
right,
job,
Jamie.
And
Heath all the way in the back, 51st overall. You picked Virginia to win.
Hey.
Nice work.
First overall, I am the best.
Nice job.
Nice job guys, not paying attention to basketball.
You guys suck.
Didn't even realize that he picked the national championship. I don't know if you had let's see who you had in the finals, but you did have Virginia winning it all. It was a good game. Man, it was a really good game.
It was a great game.
Yeah.
It was a really good NCAA tournament. Oh, not allowed to say that. NCAA tournament.
It wasn't a good tournament.
You were saying that because of the Gators or what?
No, there weren't a ton of upsets early on.
Once you got to the Elite Eight, though, there were some really awesome games.
Yeah, but usually that's when you want the best teams in it.
I would have really liked to have seen Duke in the Final Four. I mean, that was kind of who everybody wanted to see, I think. A little more Zion.
Gonzaga.
I no longer think that RJ Barrett should go ahead with Zion Williamson, by the way. Just want to throw that out there. You had Virginia over Duke. You had Texas Tech, too, and you had Kansas, Homer. Okay, who has superstar potential? Obviously, Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, Deshaun Watson. I think Baker Mayfield's obvious, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Who else in the year 2-3 quarterbacks can be a superstar? Superstar.
To that level?
I think you covered it.
Yeah.
What about Darnold?
I mean, Allen and Jackson, just based on their rushing, if Allen keeps it up and Jackson can improve as a passer, they can get to be pretty special fantasy quarterbacks. A lot has to happen.
So I think Darnold would be the most questionable.
Like, I think Darnold's absolute upside is, like, he is a very good number two quarterback in a two-quarterback league.
Like the 13th best quarterback in fantasy, something like that.
And that's with a lot of things going right.
I think and if we apply that same thing to Josh Allen, I think you could put him in the top 10. Like, his accuracy goes up, lots of splash plays, lots of rushing touchdowns. Yeah, he'd be a hero for fantasy.
I think either Allen or Jackson could legitimately be a top 5 quarterback in 4-point passing touchdown leagues.
Hmm. I mean, I think Josh Allen showed a lot last year with terrible receivers.
Terrible offensive line.
Terrible offensive line. And didn't throw a lot. Averaged just 27.7 pass attempts per game. I don't know. I think there are some people that feel Josh Allen's got a huge ceiling.
Yeah, I don't know that he has a huge ceiling this year.
No. It doesn't have to be for 2019. I'm just saying, like, who could be an NFL superstar?
I think Allen or Jackson.
But not Darnold?
I'd put Darnold there. If you're talking NFL superstar, yeah.
Yeah. But not an NFL superstar would be a fantasy superstar, right?
I guess.
And who's a sleeper for 2019?
Mine was Jackson. We've talked about him plenty.
And mine was Darnold.
And mine was Trubisky.
Okay. If you guys want to expand, go for it. If not, we'll move on.
I just think Trubisky's going to have to throw more, and it'll be a lot of short passes. I think Cohen and Mike Davis can do that. Don't see the Bears running it 30 times a game, no matter what the game script is, and that'll help Trubisky. He's got to stay healthy, and he's got to keep running the ball. He was giving you 30 or 40 rush yards per game on top of what he was throwing, and that really helped solidify his floor from week to week. It's the accuracy thing, hopefully that can improve. Toward the end, in their playoff game against Philadelphia, on that last drive, he was solid.
Let's talk about this. Ready? Here we go. Here are the top 5 quarterbacks in fantasy last year. Mahomes, Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger, Andrew Luck, Deshaun Watson. All 5 of them have a great wide receiver. 4 of them have an elite wide receiver, and then you could debate T.Y. Hilton. I think he's probably there.
He's a great wide receiver, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if he's elite, but he's certainly great. That's a bit of a problem for Darnold. and Allen and obviously Lamar Jackson. Now they'll run the ball more, but you know, something to keep in mind. As the rosters are currently constituted, they don't have that elite receiver to get them.
Well, if you go a little bit further than that, though, just outside the top five guys, I mean, Goff doesn't have an elite receiver, but he's got three pretty good ones.
Much better than, like, the Jets.
Without question, yeah. Better than those other guys. But Breeze does. Does Wilson?
No.
I mean, Tyler Lockett put up numbers like
sure. that. Sure. Rodgers does. Rivers does. Brady?
No.
Cousins does.
Right, but Cam, but we're way past superstars at this point.
No, they're superstars. They're just not guys that performed incredibly well in 2018.
I mean, a guy that's not a year two or three guy that might make the jump to superstar and does have an elite receiver, maybe two, is Jameis Winston.
Yeah, could be. All right. Good stuff. Thank you for this education on year two and three quarterbacks. Send us your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, and we are going to read a lot of them. Let's do some news and notes. Baltimore signed Seth Roberts. Dallas signed DeMarcus Lawrence to a 5-year, $105 million deal with $65 million guaranteed. There were some AAF players who were signed. Do any of them matter for fantasy?
I don't think Rashad Ross is going to work his way into the starting lineup for the Panthers.
No, but Charles Johnson with the Eagles, interesting.
Get your water or whatever out. Pete Prisco is not so sure that Kyler Murray is going to be drafted number one by Arizona. Very good podcast he did with Will Brinson on the Pick Six podcast. They talked about that. Prisco, I don't think, is projecting that. I think he is projecting Quinnen Williams to go number one.
He did that in his latest mock draft, yes.
Yeah, sorry, just had a drink. Patrick Mahomes jokingly challenged Josh Allen to a throwing contest. I would love to see that. That would be awesome.
I think actually Josh Allen challenged Patrick Mahomes, and Mahomes accepted.
Okay.
He kind of sort of accepted.
He said that Allen's going to have to be able to throw the ball 85 yards to beat him.
He also said, come to Kansas City and we'll do it next year. So he's putting the onus on Josh Allen to come to him.
Well, yeah, Patrick Mahomes isn't going to Buffalo.
No, but you figure neutral site in the offseason. No offense to anybody in Kansas City. No offense to you, but I don't think Kansas City is the most exciting city.
No, it's
in the world
just
either.
That Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, so you got to come to him.
No, you got to go to Denver, see if one of these guys can throw it 100 yards.
Well, I thought Deshaun Watson was going to be better than Mahomes.
Well, you said Wentz, though, right, Adam?
Best quarter for what? Best quarterback in the NFL?
Uh-huh.
Wentz or Eli? Aaron Rodgers, speaking of best quarterback, not happy about. It was Bleacher Report, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a pretty scathing article.
We can add this to the long list of things that Aaron Rodgers is not happy about.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about the article.
But I do like angry Aaron Rodgers. He's not holding back now.
No, he's pretty pissed. Yeah. Good. I hope he has a little bit of a chip.
Shots at Michael Finley, took shots at Greg Jennings. They've been taking shots at him for a while now, so.
Yeah. Interesting. Green Bay re-signed Jake Kumerow. Should be helpful for Aaron Rodgers. No. Baltimore worked out Eddie Lacy. We talked about that. Dwayne Haskins, Ohio State quarterback. According to recent reports, his stock is dropping.
It's going to be fun to see where these quarterbacks go.
Yeah,
because if Murray doesn't go one and the Raiders don't take him at four, then where's the destination if nobody trades up?
I'm not sure that I buy that the Giants, like there was a report that they wouldn't take him because he's too small. I'm not sure I buy that.
Do you think they would just to appease the fan base? Because that's not a Gettleman type of guy.
No, I don't think they'd do it just to appease the fan base. But if they liked him, I think they'd take him. But I don't know. Just it didn't seem shouldn't be ruled out because he's too short, I guess.
Well, they've already had their quarterback.
Yeah, that for the next at least 3 years. Buffalo signed Christian Wade. We mentioned the rugby player, and the Redskins, according to Peter King, are the favorite to acquire Josh Rosen. Superstar.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. You know, the fact that Rosen was the first one to report to Cardinals OTAs kind of would give you the indication that they told him he's their guy.
How terrible would that be to get drafted by the Cardinals, have to play in that offense last year, and then you get traded away right after they bring in Cliff Kingsbury, and you've got to go play for Washington with that set of weapons? Woof.
Okay, again, your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We're going to read them. Just got to tell you about one last thing. It is Masters Week, a tradition unlike any other. And CBS Sports is where you can get direct streaming access on your phone or your computer to live coverage all day for each round of the tournament. I also want to mention we have the First Cut podcast. It is trending right now. It is very good. Chip Patterson and Kyle Porter on the First Cut podcast. If you want to subscribe to it, go to cbssports.com/podcast right now. And actually, it's a great page, redesigned all our shows, but check out the First Cut. Anyway, to watch Masters coverage on our website, you've got an option to choose between four different streams. If you want to watch the featured groups of the day, if you want to follow the field as they come through Amen Corner or holes 15 and 16, or if you just want to see top golfers getting ready for their round on the practice range. You know, we've been looking forward to the Masters for so long, since last green jacket was awarded, and you don't want to miss a second of the action. The best part is it's entirely free. Don't need to pay for a subscription or have an expensive cable package to watch. So download the CBS Sports app on your phone or visit cbssports.com/masters first cut. That's cbssports.com/masters first cut, or you can get the app on your phone. And check out our friend Kyle Porter on CBS Sports HQ all week long. That's our free 24-hour sports news network. He'll be reporting live from Augusta National. Let's see. I want to do a question here, but I don't know what the option should be. If you could choose one sporting event to go to, what would it be? Option A is the Masters. Option B, the Final Four, say the College Basketball National Championship. Option C, the Home Run Derby. What would you choose?
College Basketball Championship.
Me too. I've already been.
Which day of the Masters are you there?
Sunday.
Or were you there the whole time?
Sunday, bloody Sunday.
What's so bloody about the Masters?
It's contact sport. All right, so Dave says national championship.
Yeah, I'm not a golfer, though.
Wait, okay, let me change it. No, I won't change it yet. I'll hear from Heath and Jamie.
Heath would rather, like, he's looking around the room. Like, you just asked him, which skunky beer do you want to drink first?
I'll go with the Masters.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, just really? to go there once.
Do you know which national championship game I was at? Hint, one of the greatest ones ever.
I'm going to guess Memphis, Kansas.
No. Duke Butler.
Hmm.
Gordon Hayward, half-court heave in front of his home crowd in Indy. Yeah, that was really incredible. Okay, thank you for playing. This is an email from Tim in Baltimore. Hey, off-season Adam, Jave, Damie, and or Heath. Adam, Jamie, Dave, and or Heath. Deshaun Watkins, Watson. I have a terrible year one. I have a terrible year one in my Dynasty League. I'm trying to get ahead this spring. Both James Washington and Eli Rogers are free agents in my league, so I swooped them both up. I'm hoping one will become the next breakout Pittsburgh wide receiver. Who do you think it will be, Washington or Rodgers?
Washington.
Washington.
A lot more upside with Washington.
And this is from an emailer has no name. Dear Kingslayer, Hodor, Joffrey, and who's that? Jaquin? Is that – who's that?
That's the man with no face.
That's what I thought.
Are these Star Wars characters?
Yeah.
Hodor.
With all these stacked backfields these days – should we be looking at drafting the entire backfield and starting them? Like, I'd have Zeke as my RB1, and then I'd draft the 49ers guys and make them my RB2 and flex.
Which two of the three 49ers guys are you drafting? That's the question. I mean, that's just a bad example, because right now they could use all three guys.
Use the Seahawks as an example.
Well, no, I was going to say, like, maybe the Chargers. You're not getting Elliott and Gordon, but Gordon and Eckler can give you some value. Yeah, the Seahawks are a good one. You know, if Rashad Penny takes the next step forward, the Packers guys, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams.
Hate this idea. Hate it.
Mr. Friendship Strategy hates pairing two players on the same team.
Starting them both? That's limiting your upside. By starting them both, you are limiting your upside.
I agree. Totally. Having them on the team is one thing.
Oh, yeah.
Starting both. You're running out of running backs.
You have to be in the rare scenario of the Saints guys where you have two guys that are going to produce. And I'm talking the Saints guys 2017 when Kamara and Ingram were fantastic. That's the scenario where you're going to do something like this or the next backfield that has the capability of doing something like this. You can't go into it thinking that unless it's pretty clear cut that two guys have the chance to touch the ball on a consistent enough basis to have the chance to be productive.
So which backfields could it work for? I think New England.
Atlanta.
Really?
I'm not sure about
potential of it. Yeah.
Yeah, potentially. Mm-hmm. But right away, I don't know if I'm ready to do that.
I could see come week 10, the Cleveland backfield.
Yeah. What about Kansas City? Could you see a scenario where Hyde and Williams are both involved enough?
Scenario, yeah.
Okay. Thank you for the email. Emailer has no name. Is it season 8 this weekend?
That's right, buddy.
Wow. Yeah. Woo. Yes. Okay, from Derek. Subject. Pass interference change. Isn't this replay change going to stir up different penalty calls/no calls? I've seen more holding penalties that were not called turned into a 50-yard touchdown and vice versa. But do you think the NFL will make holding reviewable? I'm summarizing this email. Do you think there's more to come now that they've made pass interference reviewable?
There could be. I think the biggest thing that's going to happen with this change is a lot of let's replay the down or the penalty is nullified. Because when they go back and look at it, how are you going to say that when two guys are, you know, jostling with each other and the hand fighting, which in a lot of cases has been called defensive pass interference, when it could be called offensive pass interference, and this is how referees are going to get out of penalizing the team when it's close.
I'm very nervous about that. Big play, coach throws a challenge flag, and they get a ticky-tack pass interference call, which probably not the way it's intended to be set up, but... You know, like they say, replay was designed to just review the really obvious calls. But as we've seen it evolve over time, the ball last night that went off the Virginia player's hands and out of bounds, you know, where you had to slow it down and look at it in the final 2 minutes of the game, whatever. I mean, that was never what it was intended to be. And I worry that I think it's a good thing overall. I just worry that we're going to get some calls that are like, oh, come on, really? You're calling that on review?
Yeah.
Yeah. Heath, I feel like you haven't talked a lot today.
Okay.
Is it because you're turning 40?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with that. I am already halfway gone because I won't be here Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. I'm taking a little trip for my birthday, but no, I'm not upset about that at all. I thought I'd talked quite a bit, actually. Sometimes I feel like I'm talking too much.
Where are you going?
Tampa.
Why?
Going to they have very, very good craft beer scene there. Planning on hitting up about 10 breweries in 3 days. I'm gonna go to a beach. I'm taking recommendations as well. Maybe up on Twitter at Heath Cummings SR.
Oh, they have
see what James is
tell me
to.
Where I should go.
They have a great field of breweries called Busch Gardens. Busch Gardens. Busch Gardens, yes, the music park.
Yeah, I won't be going to Busch Gardens.
From Noah, I need to keep 3 in a PPR league with a flex. Le'Veon Bell, Joe Mixon, James Conner, Michael Thomas, and Patrick Mahomes. All right, we're not going to keep Mahomes. Bell, Mixon, Conner, Michael Thomas. Pick 3 in PPR.
Thomas, Conner, Mixon.
Agreed.
Same.
Thomas, Conner, Mixon. From Matt. Half PPR league with 6 keepers. I am keeping Mixon, Gordon, Keenan Allen, Adam Thielen, and Devontae Adams. Ooh, bravo. Who should I keep as my 6th keeper? Chris Godwin, Calvin Ridley, Cortland Sutton, Tyler Boyd, or Jordan Howard?
Godwin.
I don't think this is an easy one at all.
No.
Because I think you can make the case for Godwin. I think you can make the case for Boyd. And I think the pedigree would probably favor Ridley the most of this group. Ridley's the youngest. Had a great year last year. I'd love to see him stay involved in the offense. I'd love to see Tyler Boyd stay in his role.
Tyler Boyd was so good.
He really was. Yeah. And I don't think they're going to take that job away from him. If anything, I think that that offense will cater to him a little bit more. I'm going to say Boyd. It's not going to be popular, but that's the one I'm keeping of those three.
Godwin's younger than Ridley.
Is it really?
By a year.
For me, it comes down to
Boyd's got to be the oldest.
Boyd and Godwin. I think Ridley may take a small step back from what he did last year.
Godwin's younger than Boyd too.
It's half PPR.
Is Godwin like 17? What's going on?
And he's 23. The other two are 24.
I'm going to go with Godwin.
How is Calvin Ridley 24? Not that I'm doubting you, but that's
when you get to Alabama, you age 5 years.
He was born 24 years ago, and he's had 24 birthdays.
24 years ago. That was like a pirate. Okay, not like a pirate. But it wasn't like a pirate at all. It was like 24 years ago. It was like an Irishman. All right, this is from Adam from a city in California that can't beat Boston. I guess that would be Los Angeles. Dear Matt, Trey, Danny, and LeGarrett, South Park creators.
Well, no. The first two.
Patriots. Like, this is a Boston-centric email. So, Danny Woodhead, Garrett Blunt. I don't know who Matt. Who?
No, Matt? No. It's Matt Patricia, Trey Flowers, Danny Amendola, and LeGarrett Blunt.
Okay.
What do they have in common?
They are all not on the team anymore.
And what team are three of them on now, and one of them was on last year with another one of them?
The Lions.
Yes.
There you go. I'm the commissioner of a sort of keeper/dynasty hybrid league. 10-team league, top six make the playoffs. One rule we have in place to prevent tanking. The consolation playoffs play for the first four picks in the following year's rookie draft. Seventh place gets the first pick, 10th place gets the fourth pick. So this was an email. People want to know, you know, how do you stop tanking? Should you stop tanking? So this is one way to do it. You do a consolation playoff bracket. And in Adam's league, the winner of that gets the first pick in the rookie draft. And that's actually
I love it.
Really cool.
I hate it.
Why?
Because if it's really a dynasty league, then you should be able to tank. And if you have a really bad team, you should I play in a dynasty league that Scott White has set up for baseball. And it's a 24-team league. And he does like this very, very elaborate bracket like this at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You could have the worst team in the league and get the 14th pick in the rookie draft.
That stinks.
Just because your team's so terrible.
Well, you can still tank and be in a consolation bracket and still set a lineup and try and compete as best as you can in the consolation bracket.
But who is that benefiting?
By me? Well, if you win the consolation bracket, it benefits
who
you.
Who is it benefiting by pick? Once the season's over?
I think it's hard, though, in a league that's deep. It's hard because if your team is that terrible and you lose the consolation bracket, then you're getting screwed. But if you're doing just the bottom four teams.
Right. I just don't know. Even in this system, the playoffs have started. These teams wouldn't normally be playing. Who is it benefiting that you're making me try with my terrible team in the playoffs?
Against the playoff teams. I agree.
You're not playing the playoff teams.
No, you're playing the other bad teams.
You're playing the bad teams.
In a consolation bracket, you play the other bad teams.
That's what.
But then
is.
How do you end up with the 14th pick?
No, he's talking about
I'm just talking about this one now. I'm not talking about that other one anymore. Just this one. I just don't know who benefits from these bad teams trying in the playoffs.
It's the best bad team that benefits the most.
I think it's not about trying in the playoffs. It's about, you know, having a roster that's not so bad in the regular season that it can't win the consolation bracket.
Sure, but I see Heath's point of, you know, let's just say your team is just not just awful, but you're in rebuilding mode. And then, you know, the decent players that you do have, they get hit by injuries. So now you go into this playoff system and you have no chance of winning it. So you instead of getting the top pick, which you should be awarded, or at least have the potential to be awarded, you're now getting penalized by being the fourth pick. And so, as we know in rookie drafts, that may end up being the fourth best player.
Well, but if that's the case, then you can't say you're tanking. You just got hit with some bad injuries.
Right, but then you're getting penalized in this playoff system, to Heath's point. Of you have no chance of recovering because you can't win the four-team tournament.
I would feel bad for you if that happened, but I think it's perfectly fine to have a consolation.
I am against all consolation brackets.
So Heath, How do you feel about the new NBA lottery rules?
I don't know that they changed the percentages.
Oh, huge. The bottom three teams now all have a 14% chance to get the first pick. And then, like, the eighth place team might have, like, a 10% chance. It's going to be a totally up in grabs, practically.
This year, the great thing about it is it lowered the chances of the Knicks getting Zion. So yeah. I think we're all winners.
No, you want the Knicks to get Zion if you like the NBA. Like, you want a star in New York.
No, I don't. I would like for them to be the worst team in the league repeatedly.
Zion's going to the Lakers.
It sucks. The Knicks finally are bad enough to be the worst team, and it's the 14% chance.
No one wants the Knicks to be good.
I would have to disagree with that. Okay, couple more emails here, and we'll wrap up. This is from Sean. Where's Sean from?
Alfalfa County, Oklahoma.
In a half PPR league with two wide receivers, one tight end, and two flex spots, who do I keep? Evan Ingram, Tyler Lockett, or Calvin Ridley? I can only keep one. Evan Ingram, Tyler Lockett, Calvin Ridley.
Ingram.
That's the one.
This is Mike, originally from a city in Saskatchewan, Canada.
I think the Saskatoon?
Yeah.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
That's like the biggest. There's got to be bigger cities in Saskatchewan than Saskatoon.
Well, you were right. He put it in parentheses, Saskatoon.
That's why I said Saskatoon.
Okay. Hey, Adam's wallet, cat, and au pair. Keep three of the following. I'll keep all three of them. My wallet, my cat, and my au pair. 12-team PPR league, two receivers, two running backs, tight end flex. So pretty normal. All right, keep three of these. Kenny Golladay in the 10th round. Chris Godwin in the 7th. Aaron Jones in the 7th, Evan Ingram in the 13th, and Jordan Howard in the 11th. Pete Prisco, cheers. This is easy.
I mean, Ingram and Golladay for sure.
I'd take Aaron Jones over Godwin. Right? Yeah, I see.
I think you should.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go Golladay, Jones, and Ingram.
That's going to do it for Fantasy Football today. We got a draft coming up on Thursday. We're going to talk about it on Friday. Dave, Jamie, Heath, thank you, guys.
Have you ever been to Moose Jaw in Saskatchewan?
I haven't, but...
Sounds like a cool place.
They sing a fun song in Moose Jaw.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
It goes... Na-na-na-na-na, Dave, na-na-na...
You're going too slow.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.